everybody. Welcome to the Buckmaster Show on KVOI. It is Friday, October 25th, 2013. Hope you're having a great Friday and looking forward to a good weekend. We thank you for choosing our program. We're live here Monday through Friday, 12:04 to 1 on AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's intelligent voice. We stream our show at buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com. We also have a podcast program for you. That means you can hear the program on your schedule anytime, anywhere. We post the program and archive all of our shows at buckmastershow.com. TucsonCitizen.com has the podcast, as does TucsonSentinel.com. Also, we have links to the show at gvnews.com. That's the homepage of the Green Valley News and Sahorita Sun. Our latest edition, Inside Tucson Business, will have a link to the program, as does blogforarizona.com. Our Friday Focus interview today is with Farhad Mogimi, who took over last week, actually, as the executive director of the Pima Association of Governments and the Regional Transportation Authority. Mr. Mogimi was the assistant town manager in Sahorita. He was previously the public works director in the towns of Marana and Sahorita. Joining me to question Mr. Mogimi is Dan Shear, editor of the Green Valley News and Sahorita Sun. If you have a question or comment about the RTA, give us a call on the Buckmaster Show live line 790-2040. We also invite you to join us on our Facebook page. Very easy to find. Bill Buckmaster is the way to do it. On May 16th, 2006, Pima County voters approved the RTA's $2.1 billion 20-year regional transportation plan. The RTA is the fiscal manager of the RTA plan, which includes roadways, safety, transit, and environmental and economic vitality projects. First of all, Dan Shear, good to see you.
Good afternoon, Bill.
And to our guest, Farhad, good to see you. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you, Bill. And it's good to see Dan as well. It's been a couple of weeks.
New on the job, just really getting your feet wet with the RTA. But overall, we're about 7 or 8 years into the program. How would you characterize where we are with the program?
We've been able to complete all the projects that we had promised to be able to complete in the first phase, the first 5 years of the program. And overall, we're right on target. All the projects have been completed on schedule, under budget. We've completed over 535 projects, mainly 14 roadway projects and 125 intersection projects. We have several bus pullouts throughout the region that have been completed. And we hope to be able to move on to the next phase of the project here with the same level of success and we're currently in the second period and be able to complete those by the end of the second period as well.
In the second period, the second five-year phase, what are the marquee projects that people will be looking for?
Well, currently we have the most recent contract that was bid was on the Valencia project from Albanon to Belmont. That project is going to go out to construction relatively soon. We do have Downtown Links currently under construction, but the next phase of Downtown Links will be out in construction within the next year as well. Obviously, we have Grant Road. Grant Road was segmented in several different sections, and those sections are going to be continuing on for the next 4 or 5 years for construction. But the first section was completed just recently, and we have a ribbon cutting for that actually next week on Thursday.
And, of course, then there's the controversial project about widening Broadway, and that's still being discussed.
Broadway is still in the planning stages, yes, and most likely we hope to have a final alignment and a design for continuation of Broadway and construction within the next 5 years as well.
All right, here's Dan Shear, the Green Valley News.
Well, a project of great interest down in Sahorita because it could end up on our laps, Interstate 11. I know we're real early in this, but can you kind of give people an overview of what it's all about and what the RTA's role is?
Sure. The I-11 project essentially is a partnership between the state of Arizona and the state of Nevada. The two agencies are taking the lead in the planning effort to identify a corridor. Mainly, their priority initially was between Las Vegas and Phoenix. But through the regional efforts of PAG and even MAG organizations, we've been able to highlight the importance of extending that further south to Mexico. As part of our effort, obviously as a planning agency, we want to be able to continue to work with ADOT and Nevada Transportation Department to identify these future extensions of I-11. And they're currently looking at 5-6 different possibilities of potential extensions. Obviously, we continue to highlight the importance of connecting to Mexico. Port of Entry in Mariposa has completed recently. That seems to be one of the significantly more important alignments in our opinion. And we want to make sure that throughout their process, and ADOT has a very extensive process they have to follow, which also has to be in compliance with the federal guidelines. Throughout their process, they need to make sure that they identify a corridor that would require additional studies as well. So there's really no specific alignments currently as part of the ADOT study. But as a region, we want to make sure we have a unified voice, and we want to make sure that we highlight the importance of the trade, not only between Nogales and Phoenix, but beyond, all the way up to Canada. This corridor could essentially provide international trade for our region.
And it probably will connect to I-19 at some point. Is that accurate?
Well, they're not just there yet, and that's exactly what we want to make sure that we convey the importance of I-10, I-19 connection to Nogales.
Okay.
What they call a universe of possibilities that they're looking at includes connections to as far west as Yuma, or even as far east as Benson and other border communities. So at some point, obviously, as a region, as a state, we need to finalize where that corridor might be. Once we know where the corridor is, then additional studies will be accomplished to be able to identify an alignment, per se, a line on the map.
Right. Farhad Mogimi is with us. He is the new executive director of the Pima Association of Governments, known as PAG, and the RTA, the Regional Transportation Authority. If you have any transportation questions related to the RTA, 790-2040, 790-2040. One of the things that has people talk a lot about our roads and the condition of our roads, Farhad, you know, I mean, it doesn't take a genius. You go out and drive around town, there are problems. Maintenance was not part of the program, the RTA program, or was it?
That's correct. Yeah. The RTA, as it was approved, it was mostly for capacity improvements, safety mm-hmm. improvements, and maintenance of those projects were not included in the original plan. All the member agencies who are in charge of implementing the projects will be responsible for maintaining those projects themselves.
And how we've made great advances in, we had Daryl Cole, the transportation director on from the city of Tucson, on the program a few Fridays back, and he was really talking about there have been so many improvements in the roadway construction. So the work that the RTA is doing, you would expect this to hold up for hopefully a good while.
Definitely. Yeah. Obviously, anytime you design a project, you want to make sure that you extend it for the life of the maximize the life of the project. But at any point, especially with roadways and with pavement, you know you're going to need to maintain it. The sooner you apply maintenance, the longer you can prolong the life of the project. So that's obviously an issue from a regional perspective. A PAG, not the RTA side of the business, but the PAG side of the business, actually identifies opportunities for regional funds coming through the state or even federal funds that we can distribute to our agencies for maintenance purposes. And obviously, we would continue to advocate for additional funding coming to the agencies for maintenance purposes.
Right, and part of our problem was the we've been allocated these HERF dollars, Highway Users Revenue Funds, and the state has swept millions and millions of these dollars away over the last 10, 12 years. Is there any chance we will see the money that we lost in the past, or what are you doing right now to make sure that they keep sending it to us? This has just been a huge loss, and this is probably the big reason for the maintenance issues.
You're correct. And unfortunately, again, mainly over the last 5 to 6 years, we've seen a much more extensive sweep of those HERF funds that normally would go to cities and towns and county for maintenance purposes. One of the things that we could do and we continue to do is to work with our legislators to make sure that we can educate them about the impact of those dollars going away and not really maintaining the roads. Obviously, I think they're aware of the issue, and we hope that we can continue to work with them. And obviously, the highest priority is to stop this, make sure they don't sweep it in the future. But at the same time, the second priority would be try to get as much of it back as possible. But again, our role would be to make sure that we can highlight the issue, make sure we work with our state legislators, and hopefully that as part of their discussions as they prepare the budget annually, they would minimize the attack on the HERF funds. And we've been very vocal about that issue because it does impact our community, it impacts our businesses, and we really believe that at some point we need to have other solutions other than trying to take the HERF money for other purposes.
It's 12:15 on the Buckmaster Show. It's our Friday Focus interview. We're talking about area roads with the new executive director of the Regional Transportation Authority. When we come back, we're going to talk about these indirect left turns, also known as the Michigan left. Folks don't like them very much, but they are a part now of our landscape, and we're going to have some more of them. We will ask Farhad Moghimi about that when we come back on the Buckmaster Show. Vero Amore restaurants are known as the place for authentic wood-fired Neapolitan pizzas, plus delicious pastas, panini, salads, and more. Every flavorful dish is homemade using the finest and freshest local and imported ingredients available. Vero Amore has two locations open daily, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year, and if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico make a great getaway for a weekend or longer. It's just 3 hours or so from Tucson and 15 degrees cooler to get to an area with so much to offer, from hiking, camping, exploring downtown historic Silver City, or just relaxing in a lovely environment. Visit southwestnewmexico.org for the complete list of great places to stay and visit in Silver City, Grant County, New Mexico.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our neighbors realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and build a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's PCC students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a smart, thriving Tucson and Pima County. Our region has not been immune to the unprecedented economic challenges of the past few years. During this time, PCC has prided itself on offering crucial programs and services at an extremely affordable price. We remain one of Arizona's best education bargains. With your ongoing support, we look forward to embarking on new directions and building new community connections that ensure the people of Pima County will prosper today and in the future. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show, our Friday Focus interview today for Farhad Mogimi. He is the RTA, Regional Transportation Executive Director, really been on the job only a week or so. He also, as part of his portfolio, heads up the PAG, which is the Pima Association of Governments. Dan Shear is with me also from the Green Valley News and Sahrita Sun. Farhad, this so-called Michigan left, or the indirect left turn, folks are not at all, they've voiced that it's very difficult and it's kind of hard to get used to. And I guess a total of six, maybe seven of these Michigan lefts are planned for the corridor between Oracle and Swan Roads. What's the plus side of this particular vehicle?
Bill, essentially, obviously, this is new to the region. Currently, we only have two indirect left turns, one on Ina and Oracle, that's only been operational within the past 5 weeks. The other one that opened just last week, actually, is at Grant and Oracle. And you're correct, there's going to be more along the Grant Corridor that are going to be coming. Essentially, there's definitely a benefit in reducing congestion at the intersection itself. So if you could imagine, you know, instead of having two or even in some cases three left turn lanes at an intersection, the indirect left essentially allows all the traffic to go through the intersection, and instead of having essentially additional time allowed at the intersection for the left turn, everybody goes through the intersection. Then beyond the intersection, there is an opportunity for the folks who wanted to make that left to make a U-turn and then go back to the intersection and then make a right. So, you know, it appears that it's additional time that it takes for folks to make that movement. But in reality, there's studies that have been done that indicate that it reduces congestion at the intersection. It reduces the delay. For example, the one at Ina and Oracle, we're hearing reports from Pima County that when it took almost 3 to 4 cycles for the vehicles to go through the intersection, now they're clearing that intersection in one cycle.
Oh, really?
And in addition to obviously improving the delay and congestion at the intersection, there's a safety component involved with that. Most of the accidents at the intersection involve turning movements at the intersection. And because of this innovative design, Federal Highway Administration actually has completed studies that identify reduction of accidents by almost 30% at an intersection because of eliminating that additional left turn movement and the conflict at the intersection. So having said that, obviously here in the region, it's going to take time for us to get used to it. And with the first one at Ina and Oracle, it was still during construction. There was some traffic detours and pavement work that was being completed. But most recently, that work has been completed. The signal is operational, and we've seen improvements within the past week or so. When we hope that we can compare some data from before and after the improvements have been completed and be able to demonstrate, hopefully, that obviously we hope that the number of accidents are going to be reduced. And in addition to that, the turning movements that obviously are reduced from the intersection are going to show reduced in delay as well.
All right. Here's Dan Scheer from the Green Valley News.
Talk about a little bit about the downtown streetcar. We've got about 4 miles planned to open next summer, I think, is probably the best guess at this point. What about extensions? Are we talking about that yet?
Well, downtown obviously was the priority for the streetcar project, and during our regional transportation planning update annually, every 4 years, we actually update our regional transportation plan. Currently, our regional transportation plan takes us through 2040. We're going to start gearing up for the 2045 regional transportation plan here within the next 12 to 18 months. I anticipate as part of that conversation, we're going to discuss potential extensions of the streetcar. And again, it's a long-range plan. We need to identify funding and be able to demonstrate community support for any potential extension as well.
All right, let's go now to the Buckmaster Show live line. We're going to go to Steve is with us on the live line, and he has a question or comment about the Michigan left. Go ahead, Steve.
Good afternoon. Hey, I was just wondering, when you pass up the intersection that you need to make the left-hand turn, and say you get up to the place where you make the left-hand turn, and you have 20 cars behind you, you all make the U-E, you pull up to make the right-hand turn, so now the whole right-hand lane is backed up with all these cars, and they're backed up into the other lanes because there's too many cars in lanes. Now, aren't you slowing the traffic down for the other people going the opposite direction?
The intersection where the U-turn is taking place, that intersection is signalized as well. And again, as part of the operation and fine-tuning the operation, they're monitoring both intersections and making sure that there is no backing of the traffic in either direction. But again, going back to having that additional movement at the original intersection, you still would have had that delay at the original intersection. This way, by comparing the pre and post timing, we can adjust the timing a little bit, obviously, to allow for some improvements where the U-turn is taking place. But again, one of the things I've asked everybody to monitor, obviously, the movements in all the directions and be able to compare the data so we can tweak the timing a little bit and improve that.
All right, coming up now on 12:27 on the Buckmaster Show. Getting back, Farhad Moghimi, who is the RTA Executive Director, the RTA program was approved actually at a good time because the economy, as everyone knows, went south about a year or so after the RTA program went into effect. Has there been quite a bit of cost savings from companies that want to be a little more competitive?
Yes, actually, over the last, I would say, 4 years since 2008, we've seen a lot of bids that are much more competitive, I would say on the order of 20% less than what we had anticipated. So there's been significant savings as well. And we hope that we can continue to put more projects out and enjoy the savings in the meantime.
Dan, do you have another quick question here before we wrap it up?
Yeah, we've talked a lot about an aerospace/defense corridor in the southern part of the city. Sarita's very interested in getting in on this. What is PAG's role in all of this, and where does it stand right now?
Another product of the planning that PAG is involved with is called the Regional Significant Corridors. As part of that exercise, we're currently working with all the region members to identify those significant corridors, and the aerospace and defense corridor is identified by Pima County as a significant corridor for economic development opportunities. And most other jurisdictions are at the table as well, and we believe that hopefully we'll be able to get that document completed and most likely adopted by our members. Again, as a planning organization, we currently are working on that document, but that would roll into our regional transportation plan as well, which is the 2045 plan that I mentioned earlier.
Air quality is also part of your under PAG, folks, that you keep an eye on that. How are we doing?
We're doing good. Obviously, that's our responsibility to make sure we're conforming with the federal guidelines in order to qualify for federal funds. So far, so good.
And we have not, so far, we have been in compliance in all of the categories?
Yes. Yeah. And again, obviously, in some cases, we get close. And if we get close, then we have to identify measures to make sure we're in conformance.
And the goal was about 250 electric vehicle charging stations in Pima County. We're still driving toward that?
That is correct, yes.
All right. Farhad Moghimi, thank you very much for being with us. Our first visit with you as the Executive Director of the Pima Association of Governments, known as PAG, and the Regional Transportation Authority, the RTA. Thank you very much, and good luck to you.
Thank you. Again, thanks for having me on the show.
All right. Coming up next, we have our Friday Reporters Roundtable. Mari Herreras is going to be joining us from the Tucson Weekly, and Dan Shear will stick around. That's coming up on the Friday edition of the Buckmaster Show.
SRN News. I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. A criminal complaint says a Tennessee National Guardsman accused of shooting three fellow Guard members at an armory yesterday is being relieved of duty because of alleged misconduct. A Georgia man has been convicted of murder in the killings of his father and seven extended family members. They were found clubbed to death in the mobile home they all shared. Toyota has reached a confidential settlement with the victims of a deadly crash in Oklahoma. It's a settlement that will avoid punitive damages in the case. A student who returned today to Danvers High School in Massachusetts says we can get through it, but it's really not going to be the same. The first day of classes since the body of a math teacher was found in some woods behind the school. A 14-year-old student has been charged with murder. On Wall Street, the Dow is up about 25 points. More details at srnnews.com.
Ah, it's 6 a.m. and my flight leaves for Denver in 2 hours. But no need to rush. Because I'm flying out of Tucson, I have some extra me time, which means I can relax and start my day the way I love to start every day, with a run, a hot shower, and breakfast with my family, not a 2-hour drive in rush hour traffic.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word compare to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Inside Tucson Business is your best source for the business news of metropolitan Tucson. Whether you own or manage a company, want to start your own company, or just want to know what's happening with the region's economy, you need to read Inside Tucson Business, Southern Arizona's business news leader. Read us online at InsideTucsonBusiness.com or call 294-1200 to get your copy today. Inside Tucson Business, it's not personal, it's just business.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soup, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Hi, this is Al Zaragoza, the voice of Culligan Water in Southern Arizona. You know the benefits of soft water, right? Softer laundry, softer skin, hair, and spot-free glasses. And once you have soft water, you can't live without it. But did you know a Culligan high-efficiency water softener saves up to 46% on water, salt, and energy compared to a time clock water softener? Now that's efficient. A Culligan high-efficiency water softener really is the world's most efficient water softener. So put it to work in your home and start saving even today, it virtually ends hard water spotting throughout your entire home, from your glasses to the shower doors. In fact, it makes all your high-efficiency appliances work better and last longer, too, like your dishwasher and washing machine, even your water heater. A Culligan high-efficiency water softener delivers real soft water and real savings. Call Culligan Water at 792-9700. 792-9700. Culligan, better water, pure and simple.
Limited time offer.
The nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Organization, Tucson Wildlife Center, is in the midst of a capital campaign to build Arizona's first state-of-the-art hospital for wildlife. The facility will help staff and volunteers care for nearly 1,000 raptors and mammals it receives each year at its Far East Side facility. To donate online, go to TucsonWildlife.com. For more information about wildlife rescue, visit the website or call 290-WILD.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. I am Bill Buckmaster, and we're with you every Monday through Friday, 12:04 to 1 on KVOI, AM 1030. And it's time now for our weekly Reporters Roundtable, featuring local journalists who are kind enough to come in and comment on some of the week's top stories. With me today, Mari Herreras, staff writer of the Tucson Weekly, and Dan Shear, editor of the Green Valley News and Saharita Sun. If you have a question or comment, if there's something that you hear that you would like to join in the conversation about, 790-2040. Mari, good to see you. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me, Bill.
And Dan, I publicly want to say thank you for filling in while I was up enjoying Vancouver Island for my wife's birthday last week. I think the birthday turned out to be a big success. I mean, the autumn leaves were at their peak, and it was just
Victoria.
A little north of Victoria on the Saanich Peninsula. It's just a bit north, and really a beautiful area. Anyway, Dan, thank you very much for filling in, and I heard very good things about the debate you had on the Vail incorporation. I mean, it's a big deal in that area.
It is a big deal, and you know it's a big deal in our area too, because we would be knocking up right against it with Sarita considering annexing farther east, and Green Valley, of course, has rejected incorporation four times, managed to dig up a couple of people who've been involved in those battles. Sarita and incorporated 19 years ago, barely by the skin of its teeth, and there's very much a similar situation going on in Vail. And so we will see on November 5th what happens. The early ballots, of course, are out, and for all we know, it could already be decided. I think it's going to be very close. If you ask me to call it, I would say that those who favor incorporation are very, very well organized. They've answered a lot of the tough questions. They've answered honestly, also, I believe. And so I think it's going to pass, but I think it's going to be very close.
And Saharita had two public forums this week. What was that about?
Well, we are looking at annexing east, and when it's all done, and it could take up to 30 years, when it's done, the size of the town will be tripled. And so we're looking east, and so there were a couple of public forums this week, and it would affect the Sycamore Canyon Estates area, Corona de Tucson, and the residents there were very guarded at these forums. Basically, what they were saying was, you know, it would be nice to get some of these roads fixed. They have a huge problem out there with sheet flooding, but they don't want the density that you're going to see in a Rancho Sarita, and they like the dark skies. So there's kind of a trade-off there. So at this point, it's a very slow process. The council has not even officially said, yeah, let's go for it, but it's going to be a real slow, deliberate process. Probably the first chunk would be 16 square miles, so we wouldn't even be hitting some of these people who are were at these meetings perhaps for years. But it is going to be a march east for Sarita.
All right, Mari, this is serendipitous that we invited you to be on the roundtable today, because it seems like every day the front page of the Star or somewhere was TUSD this, TUSD that. And it's interesting that the TUSD revised book policy is now drawing state concern after the state education department had pretty much given a thumbs up to the ethnic studies program.
Right. Yep. But remember when the admin judge passed his ruling, or and then Hubenthal came in and said, okay, based on this ruling, the classes are deemed illegal. And part of that memo included taking books out of the classroom, and that was part of the issue in the curriculum. And so, yeah, I could see possibly why the state might interject, although I just don't see any reason why the state, the school district should be really taking that seriously, if anything, because again, just like when they brought the CRC classes into place, the state also said, oh, we're concerned about this as well. They went in, they observed the classes, and this time they said, oh, everything was fine. I think that's going to happen in this case as well.
I mean, you could see, though, Dan, that the state might decide to come back and say, well, we just don't want some of these books in the classroom. Some of the books we're talking about, by the way, the Critical Race Theory, 500 Years of Chicano History and Pictures, Message to
Aztlan,
Chicano, History of the Mexican-American Civil Rights Movement.
But here's the danger, Bill, because a lot of people from down where I come from in Green Valley, a lot of retired educators were looking at this and took very great interest in what was playing out over the last few years. Mexican-American studies, I think, was a good idea, very poorly executed by the district. And look at that decision 2 years ago by the judge. They decided that this was not appropriate because they were advocating ethnic solidarity, promoting resentment toward a race or class of people, and that the course was designed primarily for students of a particular ethnic group. These books are not a threat. These books are supplemental material. They're good. They're interesting, actually. Mm-hmm. And I hope that this is not going to be an issue. It was the whole Mexican American Studies program and how they were trying to execute
that's
not good.
I think there's some part, Dan, that I agree with you on that, in the sense that, you know, you learn things as you cover subjects,
sure.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think the more I've covered that issue, I've learned about maybe the lack of curriculum that may have been available, that was really there in that former program. But I think that sometimes you have people who react to the titles of these books,
right,
without really knowing what they're like. Message to Aztlan, for instance, is a anthology of the work of Corky Gonzalez, who is a famous Texas writer and very much a part of the Chicano rights movement. His I Am Joaquin is a very important poem and beautiful poem. And these books are not Mexican history. They're American history.
But if Corky people Gonzalez's, just take and see the titles, like
right,
Rethinking Columbus, the Next 500 Years,
right,
they may have a negative reaction without researching what getting into the book.
Right, yeah. That's true. Yeah. That's true. And I guess, you know, again, though, it's going to be on semantics and politics, mm-hmm, of course, because Rethinking Columbus is about looking at history from a lens that may be more truthful, for instance.
and that disturbs a lot of people,
yeah,
who learned it one way. But
right,
look at Rodolfo Acuña, who wrote Occupied America, mm-hmm, A History of Chicanos. Again, Occupied America, that just right, really raises a lot of hackles. But he says, look, that it teaches pride in themselves and in their past. Nothing wrong with that. Now, I haven't been through the whole book, but again, you're right, the titles really turned people off.
Well, that book, for instance, is a book that includes a chapter on local history that happened in Tucson. So I know, for example, that the last program, when they would get to that chapter, or if they just focused on that chapter, they had people in town, still have people in town, that are in that book that they can call on, that can come to the classroom and talk about the walkouts that happened in the 60s, talk about El Rio and what happened at the golf course there. You know, so that's pretty cool, you know, for those students to know. They can have someone just walk over to Tucson High School and give them, who is Sal Baldenegro Sr.
TUSD is also going to spend $500,000 on an efficiency audit. This is something, Mari, that Superintendent H.T. Sanchez really wants to kind of get a feel, doesn't he, about where we are right now.
He said that from the beginning, mm-hmm, when he was going through the early hiring process and coming on board, that if, you know, as he was fielding questions and talking about what he thought he was going to do, he always said that, well, one of those things I'm going to do is sit down, well, let's do an audit. You know, let's audit these different areas that we're concerned with.
Well, let's leave education for a few moments. Dan Scheer, piece today in the Arizona Daily Star, County Administrator Chuck Huckleberry has challenged Supervisor Allie Miller to give prosecutors evidence that county employees are breaking the law, as she says, or Mr. Huckleberry says, please just refrain from making any accusations.
Well, I think he was a little more strong than that.
Yes, he
pretty
did.
Much told her to shut up.
Shut up.
You know, and really, you know what? People will tell you, and we've seen this again in the Vail and Corporation battle, that it's harder to work with the county to get certain things done. But that's all I'm going to give Allie Miller on this one. As he said, give us the evidence. She's pretty much shooting from the hip. And, of course, she's saying, well, I want to protect these people. And they quote her ad nauseum in this story, which I'm not quite sure why it was on the front page of the paper. But the fact is, she hasn't put forth any evidence, which has got to be very frustrating to the county. And he's right. Chuck Huckleberry is correct. These are criminal accusations. I'd love to see the evidence.
Don't you remember, though, when she was running for office and we kind of went through the same thing with her and some phantom group that had been set up to talk about the lack of the money wasn't being managed correctly in the county and such. And I think we broke that story. Jim Nintzel broke that story for the Weekly.
Well, for weeks, Allie has been alleging on a radio segment that she does on another radio station. I believe it's called Miller Time on another talk show station, and through Facebook, that Pima County extorts developers by forcing them to use county-approved high-priced consultants as a condition for getting land use and building plans approved.
Well, you know, Bill, what we hear on these things is that, you know, the media aren't covering these things. And you know what? We'd love to cover this type of stuff. This is our bread and butter.
I love development stories.
Exactly. And we love corruption. We love all this type of stuff. Bring us the evidence. We would love to do these types of stories. But I think what has happened, and we see this a lot of times with people who are fairly new, even some of the veterans in office, is that someone's got their ear and they are pretty much channeling that person or that group. And I think that's what happened with her. She needs to become her own woman, her own person in that job, kind of feel good in her own skin, because right now it's very awkward and it's embarrassing for her.
It's an interesting position that Ray Carroll finds himself into, though, as the other fellow Republican.
Sure does.
He certainly isn't siding with her. And if there's anybody that's been a past critic of Chuck Huckleberry's or the county or taxes, for instance,
Ray. Yeah. You know? All right. 12:45 on the Buckmaster Show. Mari Herreros is here from the Tucson Weekly and Dan Scheer of the Green Valley News. That was kind of interesting, that federal court ruling, the basically saying with the border fence, well, if there are problems with the border fence, good luck. You're not going to be able to sue the federal government, Dan.
Right, exactly. And we're talking about a case where there was claimed at least $6 million in damage from flooding that was caused by the way that a border fence was put up. And were they negligent? And the judge really wasn't even going to address that. It's just, you know what, this is what we need to do to secure the border, and you're out of luck.
So they have no recourse, basically.
No, because it's the federal government, first of all.
Yeah, good luck. So.
But, you know, this stuff has been discussed for a long time. I mean, when they were putting parts of the fence up, people were stepping forward and saying, hey, wait a minute here. You know, this is my property's on the other side. I can see this is going to cause issues. I mean, it's not like these issues weren't brought up during the construction, too, you know.
Getting back to education, Sunnyside has certainly some image problems. It was interesting, Mari, they're going to be launching an image makeover campaign. I don't know. What's that going to be about? We're a good school district and blah,
right,
blah, blah.
We're not just about technology, maybe. I don't cover Sunnyside. I can't say that I covered like I have in the past with TUSD. But, you know, I know they've gone through image issues in terms of the school board and how they're handling.
And the superintendent.
The superintendent.
Criticism of his leadership.
Right. Yeah. I know I've had my own little weird issues with having to talk with them and having non-communication issues. But, you know, that's not unusual. But I don't know what they're, you know, those. I guess that's going to be part of their cleanup, their how they look to the general public.
Right. And I guess the question is, are you yet what you want to be that you're going to, you know, project to the public. Have you cleaned up all the problems? Really, mm-hmm. And they have got so many up there. It's just embarrassing. Again, down in Sarita, Green Valley, we're glad we're not here.
Dan Scheer, summing it up about his feelings. How are your schools in your area?
We're terrific. We have actually two school districts. We have the Sarita Unified School District, and then we have a one-school school district called Continental. Mm-hmm. And it is right now pretty much getting an entire new campus, thanks to some voter money. So,
and of course, Vail is also in your area.
Yeah, so it's in our area. They're doing terrific, they have been applauded many times. Deserve it.
Mari, I want to quickly promote, you've got a cover story in the Tucson Weekly, the All Souls Procession, going on over a decade, really, now. It's 10 years and running. It's become kind of one of the big nationwide kind of Halloween All Souls type events.
It's definitely unique to Tucson. There's no doubt about it. You know, I don't know if you guys have spent any time watching the procession, but it's the biggest public event I think that we have in Tucson, frankly, that bigger than Tucson Meet Yourself in terms of, you know, the number of people that participate and its length of going, you know, from one side of the other side of the freeway to the other. And it's definitely a unique Tucson event. You know, I don't think we can ever, you know, replicate it anyplace else.
There's money this year to keep it going.
They're doing a pretty good job of fundraising. I know they're still doing it. They just had, last night, I had an art auction over at Pop Cycle on 4th Avenue, and they've been chipping away at the bill that they have to pay off. But they're doing a great job doing that, from what I understand. I think they asked for help, and they got it.
Bill, I want to just give a real quick plug to the White Elephant Parade, over 120 entrants. It's this Saturday at 10 o'clock down in Green Valley at Esperanza. Just take I-19 South. It is a huge event. It's the busiest weekend all year in Green Valley.
All right, Dan Scheer, thank you. That's a great segue into our weekend watch this week with Dan Gibson, who is waiting in the wings, editor of the Tucson Weekly. Mari and Dan, thank you very much. I hope you both have a great weekend.
Thanks.
You too.
Thanks.
Under the glowing glass of brilliant light, experience UA Biosphere 2 Discovery Nights. For the first time ever, premiering the wonders of Biosphere 2 at night with extended hours. Beginning Saturday, September 28th, join us for 5 straight Saturday nights for an exciting family adventure with activities that promote curiosity and creativity. Receive a free annual pass with nighttime adult admission. Kids 12 and under are free. Limit 2 per adult. Visit b2science.org for more event details.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antique, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Want the best care for your companion animal? Then Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson is the place for specialty vets for your special pet. With a state-of-the-art, award-winning facility, only the Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson delivers compassionate, comprehensive veterinary emergency and specialty care 24/7 in a wide range of fields. Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson at North La Cunada Drive at West River, or online at vscott.com. That's vscott.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
In my 25 years in Tucson, I have had only one dentist, Dr. Lisa Fogel. This highly skilled dental professional has a caring, friendly, can-do attitude that makes Dr. Fogel the choice of the Buckmaster family. Dr. Fogel's lovely state-of-the-art dental office is conveniently located on North Swan, just south of Speedway. For an appointment, call 881-1856 or visit lisafogeldentalessentials.com.
Chance plays a big part in today's world. There's a 5% chance you were born with an extra rib, a 12% chance we'll have a solar megastorm in the next decade, and a 20% chance that if you got in a road accident in Sweden, it was caused by an elk. Well, Cox Business understands that chance has no place in running a small business. Get business internet and phone for just $99 a month and enjoy the 100% certainty that comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's right. You get 100% certainty with phone features like on-the-go voice manager and internet speeds faster than basic DSL. Plus, 100% confidence with service that's been honored with the J.D. Power Award for highest in customer satisfaction with small, mid-sized business wireline service. Make the switch today and get some certainty in an otherwise uncertain world. There's now a 99% chance this commercial is over, except for the legal.
Offer ends 12/31/13. Prices exclude taxes and other fees and may be subject to minimum service requirements. Limited 30-day money-back guarantee. Exclusions and other restrictions apply. Must be claimed within 30 days of service activation. Other conditions apply. For J.D. Power Award information, go to jdpower.com.
All right, that music officially signals the weekend in Tucson, Arizona. It's Weekend Watch, presented by our friends in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico, just three and a half hours east of Tucson. What a great weekend it would be over in Silver City in the Gila National Wilderness. I keep telling all of our friends, go over and check it out. If you want to see some autumn leaves, the Gila Wilderness now in its splendor, leaves at its peak, and great places to stay, including Wilderness Lodge, Agave Ridge Retreat, and Cottage of Whispering Canyon. Find out more at southwestnewmexico.org. Our normal host, our regular host for Weekend Watch, Matt Russell, who is the Inside Tucson Business food and beverage columnist, is taking the week off. Let's just say he's on assignment, Dad, and Gibson, somewhere in some restaurant or...
The Tucson Margarita Festival is this weekend. I wondered if he was just prepping for it. Yeah. Like, if he's just tasting all of the tequila
in
advance.
Yeah, that's right. And there's probably 30 or 40 different tequilas.
Russell can get a little crazy. I mean, he's professional. He stays professional all the time.
Yeah.
But he can get a little nuts.
Dan Gibson is with us. Dan is the editor of the Tucson Weekly. There is really a lot going on this weekend.
It's October is sort of the, you know, everything is happening. I mean, there's really, you could do something every day, every night. I mean, there was the Loft had a book signing yesterday with a guy I went to junior high with, of all things. There's things at the casinos. There's a bluegrass festival. There's all the music. And then, of course, because Halloween is coming up, there is just stuff everywhere. And there are things, all the Halloween things.
Give us a few specifics.
Oh, I can do that. Please. I am prepared for that information.
Okay.
What
do you like?
Well, the biggest Halloween thing is at Hotel Club Congress, they have something called Nightmare on Congress Street, which is an annual event. They shut down the patio. They are going to have a costume contest, $500 costume contest. There's going to be carnival games. So who doesn't like carnival games? And apparently they're going to be very spooky carnival games. There's music inside and outside. I think it costs $8. And you can also just move around downtown. Playground has DJs all weekend. I think there's actually the Fox Theater on Saturday night has a 3D film, a House of Wax.
Oh, boy. I remember that one.
Yeah, you get the little glasses with the red and blue and everything. I don't know why I put my hands up.
That one
glasses.
Scared the bejeevers out of me a long time ago as a little kid. But the House of Wax.
House of Wax
really
in beautiful, spooktacular yeah. 3D.
That's at the Fox. Our friends in Oro Valley, a busy day. Dan Gibson, they're hosting the USA Triathlon Championships at Innovation Park. But Oro Valley is also hosting its fall festival at Steam Pump Ranch with wagon rides, demonstrations, and displays. A lot of fun for the kids, country and western music and entertainment. And here's the good part, Dan. Admission is free tomorrow from 9 a.m. to 3. So that's for our friends in Oro Valley. Getting back to Tucson.
And, you know, so if you're you're looking to stay in town, I mean, you know, there's options everywhere. A fun thing for kids, the Carnival de Calaveras at the Mercado St. Augustine. This is on Sunday. It's sort of a precursor to the Day of the Dead, the All Souls procession. There's going to be Ballet Folklorico, there's American Native American drumming, there's Puppets Among Us, the sort of childish, fun little puppet things. Davis Bilingual School is going to be making pumpkin pancakes. All this is free. They're looking for donations for All Souls, but it's all day Sunday at Mercado St. Augustine.
Ah, pumpkin pancakes. I pretty much like anything pumpkin.
This is your time of year then. And you can also paint some sugar skulls. You can get your face painted. I mean, what more could you ask for than that?
If you got a couple of quick ones, go for it.
I've got it. U of A hockey. U of A hockey has been displaced by the home show, by everything else. I think Disney on Ice. It's very difficult for them to get into the TCC, but they managed to get a whole weekend. They have games Friday and Saturday. U of A hockey, when they switched over coaches, didn't start out so well, but they're really hitting their peak. They beat the number three team in the country last weekend. So this is your chance to see high-quality hockey in the TCC arena. Games Friday and Saturday night. They're affordable, and unlike most U of A events, you can purchase alcohol there.
All right, Dan Gibson, thank you very much. Have a great weekend.
Of course.
The Buckmaster Show, a production of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC. On behalf of the team, our lovely and talented, we call her the ace producer, Rosemary Brandt. I am Bill Buckmaster, wishing you a wonderful and safe weekend, and telling you that bottled water, and gladly telling you that bottled water on the Buckmaster Show, supplied by Culligan, better water, pure and simple. Culligan for all your year-round residential and commercial water needs. All of our in-studio guests are presented, and they like it very much, and why wouldn't they? A nice chilled bottle of Culligan. John C. Scott Show this afternoon, 3 to 5, then Wake Up Tucson comes along Monday morning from 6 to 8. And don't forget all the expert talk here on KVOI beginning tomorrow, the gardening show with Phil Cedar. I am Bill Buckmaster. Have a great weekend.